I love the service in which we honor our veterans. Did you know there are a lot of veterans in the Bible? This morning I want to just use the story of a crusty old veteran to bring some truth and some focus to what it really means. What it really means to stay in the fight, to hold your ground. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Joshua. Joshua chapter 14, and we'll be reading verses 6 through the end of the 14th chapter. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. As you're turning to that, and you'll remember Joshua from the one line that we all remember about him. Joshua, 85 years old, said, "Give me this mountain." You know, there's always a mountain. There's always a mountain. I thought about that in terms of our veterans. I'm sure that we have maybe one or two that served in World War II. And the most memorable mountain in World War II was Suribachi on Iwo Jima. Those who may have served in the Korean War might remember too. You know, I always thought that Clint Eastwood made up Heartbreak Ridge for his movie, but you know what? I checked on it and he didn't. And Heartbreak Ridge was a fierce battle that was fought in Korea in 1951. In 1953, toward the end of the conflict, there was a battle fought on a hill called Porchop Hill because of the shape of it. And on Porchop Hill, many men gave their lives as they fought up and down and up and down for 30 days. This morning, I want to show you just a couple of pictures, nothing graphic, from another battle, if you will. The picture you see on the screen is of the Shaw Valley in Vietnam. And in the Shaw Valley, there was a hill, and that hill was called Hamburger Hill. Now, the actual title of the hill was Hill Number 937. But the soldiers that fought there renamed it Hamburger Hill because it was like being in a meat grinder when you fought that fight. The picture you see there is of Bob Hoskins, I'm sorry. He's the company commander of Able Company, 101st Airborne, Screaming Eagles. You can see it on his shoulder. We had 1,800 men involved in that campaign for that one hill. And he led his platoon, his company, in that attack. This is a picture of what that hill looked like when they were done with it. As I said, there were 1,800 American troops involved in that, plus Air Force, plus 10 batteries of artillery that laid 19,000 rounds on that hill. The Air Force had many missions over that hill, dropping 870 tons of bombs and 115 tons of napalm. These are some of the men that went up and down that hill 10 times to win the hill. And this desolation is what it will look like after everything was said and done. 72 Americans died in that battle. 372 were wounded. And the closest count they have of North Vietnamese casualties was 630. But you know what? The battles are not over. And each one of you has hills in your life. I want us to read the account of Joshua, and then I want us to share in just a few moments and learn from him what it means when we face the mountains in our life, because there's always one more hill. Joshua chapter 14, beginning in verse 6. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua. To Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back to him the word that was on my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord, my God, fully." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your feet have trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. And now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke, these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war or for going out or coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there with the great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kithra Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Pray with me for a moment. Father, I thank you for your word and the message that lives on each page. And I pray that you'd thrill the hearts of your people. Strengthen, encourage, that in their lives you might have honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take just a moment and give you just the historical, biblical background. And then I'm going to give you three things to think about. First of all, you remember back in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, the account of the spies. Joshua and Caleb were young men. And they went to represent their tribes. 12 spies went for the 12 tribes and went into the land. And when they came back, they gave their report. Now, when they came back, they brought some of the fruit of the land. Can you imagine a grape arbor where they cut down one cluster of grapes and they had to sling it on a pole between two men to carry it? Now, that should have encouraged anybody to say, let's go there. But the truth of the matter is, 10 of those spies were against it. And 2, Joshua and Caleb, were in favor. Because the people rebelled against God and Moses and Aaron, because they showed their lack of faith and trust in God, they spent 40 years in the wilderness, and that generation died out. All except Caleb and Joshua. Moses didn't even get to go into the promised land. He stood on Mount Nebo in Moab, and he looked across the Jordan River to where Jericho is. And he died there and was buried there. The Bible says there was never a greater prophet than Moses, who God saw face to face. 40 years in the wilderness, 5 years conquering Palestine, the lower part and the northern part. And now they've come to the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey, the land promised to them by God Almighty. Caleb was a feisty old guy for 85. There's some of us in here, well, not me, but there are some that are 85, I'll bet you. Got any 85-year-olds? Some of you are feisty too. Yeah, you are. And some of you can work the younger folks in the ground. And you know, that's how Caleb was. Caleb had a twinkle in his eye. He and Joshua both. They may have been 85 years old in physical circumstances, but in spirit, no way. We can learn much from Caleb as we deal with the mountains that we face. How many of you have come face to face with a mountain and you had to do something about it? You either have to go around it, you have to go over it, you have to go through it. But the point is, you have to deal with it. I am thankful if you've come to the mountains and conquered them. But then again, I assure you that there are going to be more of them. And until the day you die, there will be mountains that crop up in your life. This is what Caleb did that made him unique and the feisty veteran of God that he was. First of all, his confidence and faith in God never waned. Now, a lot of people would have given up at 40 years old, when they came back and gave the report, and they were outvoted 10-2. By the way, did you notice that even in church, the majority's not always right? The vote was 10-2, and a generation died because of it. Be careful when you vote. Be sure that you've prayed. And be sure that you vote for what God intends and the Spirit directs. But that's not the sermon. Caleb never waned in his faith. 45 years. Think of what he went through. Wandered in the wilderness. And you know, I'll bet he didn't like the company that he had to keep much. These are the folks that whined. These are the folks that didn't want to follow God. They wanted it easy. Lord, give us a break. You know, we carry the name. We're your people. They're whiny ones, you know. I'm sure he got tired of his companions. Did the desert thing for 40 years. And then when they came to Palestine, they had to fight their way in. And that took 5 years. You heard Caleb talk about what he had seen in the Promised Land, and when he talks about the Anakim, he's talking about the descendants of Anak. You'll remember that in Joshua chapter 13 and 14, excuse me, in Numbers 13 and 14, when it speaks about them, it says they were giants. That they were giants. Well, the truth is, where did Goliath come from? He came from Gad, and he was one of the sons of Anak. And so how would you like to go up against a country of Goliaths? And yet his faith never diminished through 45 years of adversity. Secondly, all of that did not dampen his resolve. He was just as committed to follow the Lord fully in that day as he was in the day that he went out to spy out the land. In that passage, it says that he obeyed the Lord fully. And in this passage, it says that I followed the Lord my God fully. You know, an old man and an old woman can follow God fully. Say, well, I can't do what I used to do. No, but you can do what you can do. And you need to do it faithfully. And you need to do it with the motivation of bringing honor and glory to God through the way that you conduct your life, and especially as you approach the hills and the mountains of adversity. Secondly, his strength never faltered. Now, was he as strong physically? I don't know, but when I hear his testimony, I wouldn't have picked a fight with him. 85 or not. Billy Sunday once said that no matter how old he got, he'd fight the devil to the day he died. He said, I'll punch him. He said, when I can't punch anymore, I'll kick him. He says, and when my teeth fall out, he says, I'll gum him. Never quit the fight. Never quit the fight. His strength never faltered because his faith was the very source of his strength. People think about strength and they don't understand that what the Bible is always talking about when it talks about strength is not biceps and triceps, or whatever they call when you don't have a neck. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about that inner fortitude that can never be defeated. We call it guts when the women aren't around. That fortitude that refuses to quit, refuses to lay down and die. And if you want it dead, you're going to have to sure enough kill it. And so he understood that his faith was the source of his strength. In those times when you feel weak, do you know what your problem is? It's your faith. Get on your knees. Get right with God. Get those things out of your life that stand between you and him. Reinforce that faith, that saving faith that you met at the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Source of strength. Secondly, though, the trials of life and the experiences with God strengthened that inner strength. I thought about that and I remembered back I'll bet you would not believe that a short 7 years ago, I was a mighty bodybuilding, iron-pumping fool. Eh, you know, it's not quite like it was. But they opened a place for old people to work at where we lived. For $100 a year, I got a membership in a state-of-the-art, sure enough, workout center. They had 24 different machines to work your body. And did I bench press 500? No. I don't even remember what I bench pressed, but I guarantee you this, I pressed more every time I went. You see, it's not the amount, it's the repetitions that build your strength. And when you walk with God through the hills and the valleys of this life, and when you faithfully serve Him every day of your life, those reps keep building and you get stronger. Do you know the strongest day that a child of God ever has? A child of God that's followed Him years and years through the toil and trouble of this life, their strongest day is the day they die. Filled with the strength of God. And they go home to be with Jesus, filled with that strength. Also, though, he relied on the power of God. You see, when he said that he was stronger or just as strong today as he was all those years before, he wasn't bragging on him, he was bragging on God. Bragging on God. You know, your life needs to brag on your Lord and not bring shame to him. Last thing I want to share is simply this. His God never forgot his faithfulness. Never forgot his faithfulness. I'm going to tell you two things about God. First of all, God is a rewarder of those who are faithful and serve him. And they receive a reward. You say, well, what am I going to get? One day you'll stand before God. And Jesus will say, well done, good, faithful servant. Yes, sir. And there's not a thing in this world more precious than that. My heart yearns for the day, and I pray that I hear those words. God always rewards faithfulness, and God always keeps His promises, always keeps his promises. Caleb lived early on, Old Testament times. You and I have an advantage because there's one hill that makes everything that I've spoken of possible. It's a hill called Calvary. It's where Jesus shed his blood for you and for I. It's that place where Jesus won the victory for you and I. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you'd raise up, Lord, a handful of Calebs among us. Those that can't be discouraged or defeated. Those that refuse to lay down, roll over, and die. Those who, above all, want their life to count for the namesake of Jesus Christ. God, help us. I pray this morning that you'd speak to hearts. There may be one here that's never surrendered their life to you. Oh, they might have walked an aisle, got wet in a baptistry, but they never surrendered their life. They're still living it just the way they want to. Touch their hearts, draw them to the cross. Splash them with the blood. There may be some that began to walk with you, and through the years, that fervor has cooled. Pray that I might come. Beg your forgiveness. Commit their lives to follow you. Might be one that feels that they need to come and be a part of a church family where first and foremost, Jesus is Lord. Father, whatever you desire in each life, I pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, work in each one. To your honor and glory, in Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand quietly and prayerfully. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our praise team is going to sing the hymn of invitation. You don't have to worry about words. You don't have to worry about music. Concentrate your heart and your thoughts on that hill at Calvary, on that cross. And if God speaks to your heart, I invite you to come. Don't turn him away. Don't put him off. This is the acceptable time of the Lord. Will you come? Will you come?